It is a fake dollar bill. Yeah, so I had a student to try to use this in the lunch line about 4 years ago. And I carried around. I carried around because I want to live a life that's not counterfeit but real for God. And it reminds me, so I keep it in my Bible. So, but please, if a law enforcement agent sees this online, I promise I'll never try to spend it or use it. So I carried around as a token to remember to be authentic and real. And a few things, a lot of y'all know me, a few of you don't. You know, just a disclaimer, I'm not a preacher or pastor, a theologian. I'm a dad, a husband, an educator, and a man who's 43 years old and made many mistakes in that 43 years that I've lived, but God's walked me through those mistakes, and now he's taken my mess from the past and turn it into a message, and he can do that all for us. You know, he takes our ashes, things that we've burned down, and he makes beauty out of our ashes. And we all have that hope if we put our faith in Christ. We all have that hope. If we get in the presence of God, he'll change you. An evangelist showed up to speaking one night, and he showed up. Oh, first of all, my wife's not here tonight. She's got some type of illness going on. I think it's a sinus infection. I think it has more to do with the 60 miles she hiked in Washington a few days ago. But she has a sinus infection, and she said a couple of profound things to me before I left the house this evening. The first thing was, make sure your stomach doesn't show, and don't let them see your underwear. So I looked down at my shirt. It was a little bit short, so I went and changed my shirt. And the second profound thing she said before I walked out of the house, she goes, are you going to make it short and sweet, or are you going to, like, drag it on? So I said, I don't know, whatever God wants. So, my wife, I love her to death. She's home. She's not feeling good. She really wanted to come and be here to support me and to worship with you guys tonight, but she wasn't able to make it. I love her to death. Her and I have been through it all, and we are still together. We've been married 19 years now. We're going on 20. It's my job to set up the 20th anniversary, so I'm starting to work on that right now. I've got about 360 days to do it, maybe 355, something like that. But it's my job. But I do have 5 children, and then I have a son who's 23. He's out working in the oil field right now to save up money for a diamond ring. So that's exciting. He's got a girl that he really likes, and I think she really likes him, so he's out in the oil field saving up some money. And then I have a daughter who just got back from India a couple days ago, so we're excited about that. She will be. Father's Day, right? She better be. She's spending a little time with her boyfriend in Tulsa. They're hanging out today, and so she'll be in Saturday. So she's been in India for a month, and she's able to spend a lot of time, and God's able to work through her, and she touched the life of many orphans in India. And she texted us the other day. She's like, I think I see myself staying in India for about a year, or going back to India for a year. And I'm like, ooh, like I said the other time, that better be God. You need to listen to his voice. Make sure it's him. But if that's what God wants her to do, that's what I want her to do, okay? And then I have a son, Connor. He's not here. He's working at Dos Chili's tonight, waiting tables. I've got another. My next son here is Noah. He's awesome. He's here taking notes. Hey, I like it. He's copying his dad. You know, our children are going to copy what we do. So I'm excited that Noah's here tonight, and Miles, who just went back with the children. I'm excited they're here tonight because I want them to copy what I'm doing tonight. I'm not saying I want them to be a preacher. I mean, if that's what God wants them to do, yeah. But I want them to see me being obedient to God, and then them being obedient to God because of me. And not only because of me, because they love God, but I want them to emulate, copy me as I copy Christ, or follow me as I follow Christ, right? So that's truly what I've been working on my life. I want to be a role model for not only the 5 children in my home, but also the 2,600 children that I come in contact with every day in the high school that I work in. Guys, it's a dark world out there. And I see it every day in the high school. There's a lot of things going on in the world that are dark. But you know what? In the dark, and I said this maybe last week, but in the dark, the light can really shine bright. You know, I'm working on a, it's kind of beginning a book right now, and I haven't told hardly anybody about this, but it's called Chasing Shiny Things. And it all started with a conversation I had with a gentleman who is a, and I'll get to my message here in a little bit. I just want to talk for a little bit, if y'all don't mind. I was talking to a gentleman in my school one day, one of the parents of one of my students, and so due to that conversation, I got this, God started revealing this thing, this message to me, and it's about chasing shiny objects, and it seems like many people in the world today, all we're doing is chasing shiny objects. You know, whether it be money, whether it be fame, whether it be drugs or alcohol or sex, whatever, everything shiny out there that gets our attention. But let me tell you something. If you can get into the presence of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit is more brighter than any other shiny object in the world, okay? And that's really what can get your focus in life, what you really need to focus on in life, what can really turn your life around is if you start getting into the presence of God, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. That's right there what can get your focus, and that's what can draw your attention. Not only will it draw your attention away from things that are shiny in the world, but it'll also draw other people's attention, you know? Guys, we are to be a light in the world. We are to look at the heart of every man we come in contact with and see them with the eyes of God, the eyes that Jesus had when He walked on the earth and has still, as He's not walking on the earth right now. I was my wife and I just took a trip to Washington, and we were taking a shuttle bus to the airport, and we got on the bus, and, you know, people started loading in to the bus, and my wife was sitting to my left, and I'm sitting here, and there's another empty spot here, and all of a sudden, a gentleman sits down beside me, and I, you know, just kind of looked at him a little bit, kind of seen what was going on. I noticed his legs were really thin, and you know, you can tell when someone might be sick, possibly, and so I just struck up a conversation with him, just said, "Hey, how's your day going?" "Oh, it's going pretty good." I was like, "Well, hey, where are you going?" He's going, "Well, I'm going to California. My granddaughter's graduating from high school." And I said, "Man, that's awesome. That's cool." I said, and you know, somebody paid the trip for him. I'm like, "Man, that's awesome." And I said, "What else is going on? Tell me what's going on." And he goes, "Well, don't get up and run off or anything, but I have cancer, and it's not contagious, but I have cancer." And he said, I thought God was going to heal me from it, and He just hadn't. And I was like, "You know what?" I said, "Let's pray right now. Let's pray. I believe that if we can pray, it says, whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I shall receive. So I believe in that you're going to get healed. So let's pray." So, man, I busted out in a prayer for this man, and just my heart just was really just, I can't really explain it. My heart was just feeling deeply for this man. Prayed for him and encouraged him. And the whole bus got quiet. And the man looked at me and goes, "You know what? I'm really excited about getting to see my granddaughter graduate. But man, this almost tops it." He said, "I'm so glad that I've met you today." So, and this isn't about me, I promise. It's about looking at the heart of a man or a woman and loving them. Loving the unlovely. I deal with unlovely stuff all the time. A week ago, I had an attorney screaming at me, yelling at me, telling me I'm breaking all these laws. But you know what? I looked at that attorney, and I treated him like God would treat him, and I loved him. And I said, "I understand, sir. I understand why you feel that way. But this is, you know, this is the reason why I've done this, you know." And by the time, not that meeting was over, but by the time I met with him a second time, he came up to me. Well, I told him after the second meeting, when I led the first meeting, my boss led the second meeting. In the second meeting, he was really nice to my boss. And he wasn't, I said, "Sir, the only thing I'm disappointed with about this meeting is that you were nicer to my boss than you were to me." And I was just joking with him. And he goes, "Well, you weren't nice to me." I said, "Yes, I was." And so I started talking to our attorney and stuff, and then he comes back, and he interrupts, and he goes, "Hey, I just want to tell you something." He goes, "I want you to know I'm joking." He said, I really think you're a great guy. You're a great guy." So I was like, wow. See, because because I'm loving him like God loves him. You know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we've got to say things that aren't so lovely to people. It's the truth. They don't think it's lovely, but it's the truth, but it's really us loving them. And that's a whole different sermon and a whole different message. But we are to look at the heart of man and understand that, first of all, if they're lost, they're going to act lost and they're going to treat you poorly sometimes. But just love them. Just love them. And your love for them can change their life. God can change their life through you by you loving on them, okay? And when I say whatever I do, it's really God working through us because we're just a vessel. We're just an instrument in the hands of God. That's what we're supposed to be anyway, okay? But back to the chase and shiny objects. So I met with a man one day, his daughter. We were in a big meeting. His daughter was not doing good, and I'm not going to use names for the, you know, privacy of the people I work with, but this daughter was, she was struggling in school, just a lot of stuff going on. The man had, they had lost his wife. The daughter had lost her mom, and so he was trying to raise her on his own. And he ran a $100 million company, and he shared that with us, and was proud of it, which is good. I'd be probably proud of running a $100 million company, too. But he was at his end. He didn't know what to do. He's like, you know, he's like, Mr. Richardson, I give my daughter everything. You know, the nanny takes her to, you know, takes her everywhere she wants. She even takes her on vacation. I've sent her this. I've done this. I've got this tutor. I've got this. She goes here. She goes there. I've done everything for her. But nothing's, she's not responding. She doesn't want to talk to me, you know. So we pretty much waste our time in this meeting trying to figure out how to solve the problems when I pretty much knew the solution. But we talked through the meeting, right? We set up some things. And I'm not saying waste my time. We did set up some good things, you know, put some things in place for his daughter. And so I said, sir, I'd like to talk to you after the meeting. And he said, okay. So after the meeting was over, everybody left. And I just, you know, I took a deep breath and I looked at him and I said, Mr. So-and-so, do you think your daughter believes that you love her more than that $100 million company? And he looked at me and got tears in his eyes, and he goes, I can't say that. I said, what would it look like if you got a text from your daughter saying that she was having a bad day, and you hopped on a plane, you dropped everything, and you hopped on a plane, and I think he was working out of the country, you dropped on a plane, and you flew all the way back home just to have dinner to her and hear her out. What do you think she would, how do you think she'd respond to that? And he goes, you know what? I've never thought of that. So the reason why I tell you this story is because this certain gentleman was chasing shiny things. And I'm not saying we don't have to have it. We got to all have a job. Most of us have to have a job. But that job is to be our platform for Christ. And I didn't get into the gospel message or anything with him. I didn't feel that the Spirit was leading me to do that. I just got into more priorities. Priorities. What's your priority? Your job more priority than your family? Or is your family more priority than your job? And that kind of leads me into what I want to talk about tonight. Okay? And let me put another disclaimer on this, is that when I speak, when I talk, this is what God's told me. And another disclaimer is that we can't go back to the past and change anything. We can only start today and move forward. Yes, we can learn from the past, everybody. We can learn. But that's the past. God has great things for us in the future, but we got to let the past go. We learn from it. I tell my students, own it. Okay? Learn from it. Don't do it again. Okay? I've made some mistakes in my life, and I own them. Man, have I. And I'm not going to get into those tonight. I learn from them, and I'm not going to do them again. Okay? And that's what we're to do. So if I say something that maybe hits a nerve or something, just understand that we can't go back to the past and change anything. We can't feel bad for not doing certain things or doing certain things in the past. God Jesus died for all that stuff anyway. He took it upon the cross. We've got to move forward. Psalms 127. King Solomon, right? God's really been speaking to my heart about being a spiritual leader in my home. He's been speaking to my heart about ensuring that I'm doing everything, or God, I'm allowing God to do everything through me in my home to prepare my kids to go out into the world. And this goes, it hits a nerve with me. Have I done a great job in the past? No. But we can start today and move forward, right? Okay? Psalms. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So I'm like, wow, okay. So we've all heard this scripture before, right? We all, you know, our children, they're like arrows, right? And we're going to take these arrows and we're going to fire them out into the world, right? And we're going to, and hopefully that we've been raising our children in the ways of God so that when we fire them out into the world, they can make change for God's kingdom, right? Okay? So I started reading this and I'm like, and by the way, Kevin did call me a little bit late, but I had peace about it. Here's the thing. Today is the last day of my 20th year of education. So I was going to go home, and I was sitting on the couch, and 20 years, yes, I'm going to go home and relax a little bit. It's my last day of work for a month. I'm sitting there on the chair by my wife, who's not feeling good, and the phone rings. I look at it, it says, Kevin. I said, huh, Kevin's calling me. And I knew what the call was going to be about, something. And that's great. I'm so glad you did. But I had a piece about it. And I was like, man, thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. My wife's like, what are you going to speak about? I said, I don't know yet. God's going to show me. So I prayed. And then I went to this Psalms. And then he just started showing me some more things. And this is the things he's been talking to me about anyway. Matter of fact, I was in one of our very important admin meetings. And I hope my principal's not seeing this. I'm just playing, Dr. Myers. But I was taking notes for our admin meeting, which are good notes. And then I flipped over when I had a break. And I wrote some notes, and a lot of these notes fit into what I'm speaking about tonight. But it was important. I'm not saying it wasn't, because our children are important in the school, but I find this to be more important. Just how I am. I mean, I'm there at that school to be an instrument for God. I know that all these programs we put together for anti-bullying and all this stuff, it really makes us feel good, but I'm telling you, this is what's going to keep people from bullying right here. Okay? So everybody's like, why is the bullying numbers going up? Because we pushed God out of the school. You know, we can't read the Bible. Why is it that we can't read something that has such great information in a school building? Because we have a man named Jesus who walked the earth and died for us. That's why we can't put it in the school building? It's ridiculous. It's offensive to me. I'm sorry, but it is. But that's my speeding ticket. That's a remembrance for me to obey the law of the land. So I keep this. And I get off track a little bit. That's just how I am. But the officer gave me a ticket on my anniversary 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Yeah, so I kept it. But this year on our – no, 1 year ago. 2 years ago? What day is this? Was it 1 year ago? Okay. Yes, 1 year ago. This year, on our anniversary, my wife gets pulled over by the highway patrol. But she didn't get a ticket. And she was going faster than I was. But the guy was like, well, I got to give you a ticket. I said, it's my anniversary. He said, I still got to give you a ticket. I got this new body cam on. And I'm like, it's like nothing body cams. They've been around for 10 years. But I guess in this small Oklahoma town, they just got body cams. I don't know. He's like, they're watching me. I got to give you a ticket. I'm like, all right, give me the ticket. So anyway, obey the laws of the land. It's a remembrance. So everything I have in my Bible reminds me of something. So don't be a fake. Don't speed. Okay. All right. So back to what I'm saying. So I look at this scripture and I'm like, I understand everything, you know, God, I really understand it. And then I look at the bottom, it says, but shall speak with her enemies in the gate. I'm like, what's that mean? But shall speak with her enemies in the gate? So what did I do? I did what my pastor told me to do, and I went to like Strong's or one of the other, what are they called? I don't even know what they're called. See, I'm not a pastor, guys. They're a Strong Concordance. I went to court, kind of started studying a little bit. And I looked at it, and it said, children should stand and plead the cause of their parents against their adversaries before the eyes of all. Defense of the gospel. So, what's my job as a dad? Well, what's my job as a man? First of all, love God, right? Because I can't love my wife how I'm supposed to if I don't love God first, right? There's order. There's order to our lives. We've got to put God first, then our wife, then our children, and then everything else falls in line. If we try to get it backwards, everything messes up. It creates this crazy life that just messes us everything up, right? So what I'm saying here is that if I'm going to be a spiritual leader, I'm to be a spiritual leader in my home and prepare my children to go out into the world and defend the gospel. That's it. Besides loving God, loving my wife as Christ loved the church, which he died for, so we're to die for our wives every day, gentlemen. And like I said, we start today, we move forward, okay? Don't get playing a guilt trip on yourself. We got to move forward, okay? And then third, we're going to raise our children in the ways of God. They are our arrows in our quiver. I've got five of them. And yeah, one of them is 23 years old and doesn't live with me anymore, but I tell you what, I can still speak life into him. I can still send him scriptures. I can still love on him. I can still tell him the things about God. And I've got a daughter who doesn't live at home either, but man, I'm just going to continue to encourage her in the what she's doing for God. I'm going to continue to speak words of God to them, right? And then the children I live in my home, I'm just going to keep dumping the word of God on them. As a matter of fact, I told y'all maybe a week ago that we're starting a study, and it's called Stepping Up. And it's really designed for, you know, older people. But, I mean, like I said last week, why do we need to wait till our children get older before they start really teaching them how to step up? They need to step up now, right? Okay? So I thought that scripture was really cool. It's, they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. We're going out into the world, and they're, if they're not for God, they're against God, so they're my enemy, but we're to love our enemies, like, right? Okay? So we're to tell them the truth, and they might find it offensive, but we're going to tell it in love, and we're going to tell it with gentleness and kindness, right? So that's what our job is. So we're to prepare ourselves. We're to get in this Word of God and start just letting the Holy Spirit speak to us and prepare us and prepare us. And we're to prepare our children, because if we can't prepare our children if we're not prepared, right? We prepare our children because they will leave our house one day. Some of you might not believe that, but they will. Sometimes you got to like give them a little out the door, but they will leave. And they're going to go out and speak with their enemies in the gate. Okay? That's our job. So, they are to contend for the faith. If you go to Jude, and Jude is all the way in the back, right? And there's not but one chapter, so you can't say like Jude 1, 3. It's Jude 3, right? Jude 3 says, Beloved, while I was very diligent, and remember, y'all remember who Jude is, right? Jude is one of the brothers of Jesus, right? Okay. It says, man, I'm going to listen to anybody that, I'm going to listen to Jesus, I'm going to listen to the brothers of Jesus for sure, right? I mean, for sure Jesus, but also the brothers. If you're hanging out with Jesus during your life, you got to know something, right? Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which once for all delivered to the saints. We are to contend earnestly. So what's the word contend mean? Well, I looked it up. I did. I had all that 40 minutes I had, I looked it up. I had time. Strive in contest or rival against difficulties. So let's go ahead and dispel another falsity. When you're a Christian, it's not always easy. It tells us right here. We're going to go up against difficulties. We are to contend for the faith against difficulties. Amen. Yeah, how can we contend if there's not something coming against us, right? That's a good point. That's a good point. So, it will, you know, a life of Christ, here's how I put it. If you don't live a life for Christ, I believe it's a very heavy life. And what I mean by that, it's like there's a lot of weight of the world on your shoulders. And I'm not saying that I never get the weight of the world on my shoulders. I do sometimes. That's why God gave me broad shoulders, right, to carry it all. But I'm telling you what, when you're following Christ and you're being obedient to the Lord, how good your sleep at night. I mean, come on. And when you're not, how bad is your sleep at night? You know what I'm saying? So why do we as humans, because we're fallen, I can answer it before I even say it, ask it. Why do we as humans want to live a life contrary to Christ and lose sleep at night and have a heavy life? So I always tell my students and my kids, I said, let's live a light life, not a heavy life. You know, let's live a light life. Let's do the right things, right? And live a light life. All right. That's awesome. So that's G3. We must be focused on what matters. We must set our priorities. And that goes back to chasing shiny things, how I'm developing that. I don't know what it is, a book, whatever. It goes back to chasing shiny. We are to prioritize our lives. Like I said a while ago, yes, we're going to have to go work to raise money because that's how the world works, is we have to have money to buy food, right? But we use our job. It's like killing two birds with one stone, right? We make money and we get to tell people about Jesus. We get to reflect the light of the Father, right? We get to magnify God. Hey, think about magnification. A lot of, like, magnify God. Is that making God bigger? No, because God can't get any bigger. I mean, you can't even measure God. He's big. I mean, he's just bigger than big. I can't even use that word big, right? But think about it. I was thinking about, you know, thinking about God. You think about God. Some people think, well, we're magnifying, making bigger by worshiping him and all this stuff. But think about magnification. When I look at a telescope, you know, I'm looking up at a star or something, whatever you're looking at. I don't look at telescopes much. You are bringing that into view, right? You're making it where you can see it, right? So we are magnifying, using a telescope, that object, right? So when I live my life, right, the way God asked me to live my life, I'm bringing God into focus for many people that surround me. Isn't that a cool way to look at it? You're magnifying God. It's kind of like a telescope. It's not a microscope. It's not a magnifying glass. It's a telescope. You're bringing God into focus for many people that you come in contact with. Okay, so think of it that way when you think of magnifying God. That's how I think of it now. I don't even know how I came up with that. If someone told me or I thought of it, or I'm not going to say which way because I don't remember. But so people are like, okay, I want to be focused. I want to have priorities. But how do you do that? I'm 43 years old, or I'm 53 years old. I'm 73 years old, and I've been trying to do that my whole life. It sounds easy. But how do you do it? Well, I asked that question to myself. I put the question, how, right there. So God showed me John 12:23-26. Man, I'm hoping this is reaching some of y'all. I don't know. When I came in today, I started looking around. I was, you know, talking about raising children and being a spiritual leader, and I only saw a few parents. I'm like, oh my goodness! And then I thought, oh, the internet. Maybe somebody will see this that really, really needs to hear it. And hopefully, this is blessing y'all too. I'm just gonna do what God tells me to say. That's it. I'm gonna be obedient, and He'll bless that, and somebody will be blessed because of what I say tonight. It might change somebody's life. I don't know. We'll see. All right. John 12:23-26. Okay, this is Jesus speaking. So when you know that Jesus is speaking, you know it's good, right? And he explaining why he must die, Jesus is. But look at this, right? Let's go to, okay. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you. Now, listen, this is important. Okay. This doesn't only, I believe, and Pastor Kevin will correct me later if I'm wrong, but I believe that he's not only speaking about himself, but he's speaking about every one of us. Listen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Okay. I've got a saying, dying to live, living to love. Okay? We must die to ourselves and allow Christ to live through us. So dying to live, we can't live life on our own, people. We've already seen what the effects of that are. A big mess. So we must die to self to allow God, Jesus, to live through us so we can love others. Dying to live, living to love. That's a saying that I've coined. Don't steal it. Now you can have it. I'm just playing. But that's so true. We must die to ourself. Think about this scripture. John 15, let's just flip over a few pages. And a lot of people think about someone maybe jumping in front of a bullet or something like that. But listen to this. It says, John 15, 13. The word says, and Jesus speaking again, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, a lot of times they use this in context for our military, which is so true. That's such a great love to lay down your life for us, so we can have the freedom to get to even speak the name of Jesus. For me to even be here tonight to be able to speak to you guys tonight is the freedom that our military has given us. So a lot of people think of it in that context. But another way I think about this, and that I believe that God showed me, is that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life, what I talked about a while ago, to die. See, my love for my family is going to be great if I die and allow Christ to live through me. There's no greater love than that. I can't love my family unless I die. And when I talk about dying, I'm talking about spiritual death, right? I'm dying to self. I'm dying to self and allowing Christ to live through me. So when I read that, it's talking about, to me, is giving up my life to allow him to live through me, to love my family, to love you guys, to love the students in my school, to love every person I come in contact with, George on the bus on the way to the airport, to love others. I must give up my life and receive the life that Christ has for me in order to love them. Does that make sense to y'all? Does that kind of ring true? So, still kind of flowing through this. So this is how we're able to raise our children in the ways of God is first of all, and how we to live that life is we have to die to ourselves. We have to put God first and allow Christ to live through us. Right? We have to be an empty vessel and allow him to fill that vessel up. Okay? That's how, right? So move on a little further. This is all good and fine and dandy to be able to speak these words to you guys tonight, right? But am I going to do these words? Are y'all just going to hear these words tonight, or are you going to do these words? So that brings me to James, okay? James 1:22. Y'all know who James is? Another brother, right? Another brother of Jesus. So, you know, very important. James 22 says, Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay. So, I told you a while ago that we are to send our children out into the world. We're to raise our children in the ways of God. We're to love God. We're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. We're to raise our children in the ways of God. And how do we do that? We must die to self, right? But are we truly going to do that? Or are we just going to hear these words? Are we truly going to do that? Or are we going to hear these words? And I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, Brother Kevin says it every Sunday. It's like, you know, every Sunday he's giving us the message, and he's giving us the message, and he's giving us the message, and he's giving us the message. Are we letting that message escape? Are we doing these things? Guys, we have a dying world out there, a dark and dying world. I see it every day. Are we going to get our priorities right? Are we going to allow Christ to live through us? Knowing that in order for him to live through us, we must die to ourself. Okay? All right. I am getting close to being done. All right. Guys, I've got a saying. Another saying. Don't waste your vapor. You ever heard me say that, Noah? Yeah. Don't waste your vapor. James 4:14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, a little time, and then vanishes away. Guys, God gave us so many years on this earth. And many of us are, I'm probably halfway through, I guess, unless I live to be 100. That'd be nice. I figured it out. To be married to my wife 75 years, I got to live to be 99, so that's kind of my goal. So we are only given so much time on this earth. Okay? And like I said, we can only start today. And I'm speaking, God's speaking to me right now. He's hammering me with this right now. We've only got so much time. We've only got so much time with our children. We've only got so much time with the people at our job. We've only got so much time for people we truly love. We do. But what are we doing with that time? What are we doing with that time? Guys, we can't waste our vapor. Don't waste your vapor. We've got to get moving here. And believe me, it's not that we're not getting the encouragement, you know, the word or the preparation. We get a ton of it on Sunday, and then we must spend our time on the other days getting into the word. Priorities, right? Please don't waste your vapor. Young people, girls, guys, don't waste your vapor. Don't waste your vapor. I wish I could go back to 13 years old and do it again. I would change some things, right? Don't waste your vapor. Contend for Christ. Fight. Do it in love, though. There's a few different ways you can present the gospel. You've heard it in a very offensive way, which is it's going to offend. You can say it as soft as you can. It's still going to offend people. I'm not saying that. But do it in love. Look at their heart and go, my goodness, they've got to know Christ. They've got to know who he is. How are they going to know, right? Am I going to magnify God and am I going to let people see him through me? Am I going to be the moon and reflect the sun, right? Okay, don't waste your vapor. It's the last thing I got to say, and I'm done. Man, I love you guys. We missed last Sunday. We were out of town, didn't we? Yeah. I miss coming to church, seeing you guys. All right. Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess and believe. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm talking about dying to self. I'm talking about loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm talking about loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life up for the church. And we're to do the same for our wife. I'm talking about loving your children and preparing them to go out and contend for the faith. All that's moot unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Because many people have confessed, yeah, I'm a Christian. But they haven't truly believed with their heart. Because with belief comes action. Faith without works is dead. And many people go, well, it's not the works that saves you. You're exactly right. It's not the works that saves you. It's Christ that saved you, only the blood. Only the blood of Jesus. But a consequence of believing in Jesus and giving your life to Christ is your actions and your works. Because faith without works is dead. It's saying faith is dead. There's no faith. So we've got a couple things we're contending against. We've got, first of all, people that just don't want anything to do with God. They don't believe in God. They hate people that love God. And then we've got people that say they believe in God, but they look like the people that hate God. An evangelist showed up to his speaking engagement late. And he's like, sorry I'm late, guys. So sorry I'm late. He said, I had a flat tire on the way in. Went out to change the tire. The lug nut came loose and bounced out in the middle of the road. Went down to pick it up. And right when I stood up and looked up, a logging truck hit me and ran me over. Sorry I'm late. People looked at him like, what? There's something going on here. You've either got to be, one, lying, two, crazy. He said, guys, why don't you believe me? You say that you came in contact with something much greater than a logging truck. The God who created this world. He created everything. And you look the same before you came in contact with him as you did after you say you came in contact with him. So you're calling me crazy because I got hit by a logging truck who's very, very minor to the creator of this world. Guys, you're going to see a difference. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. We still got a battle between the flesh and the spirit. But there will be a difference. We're not born anew, born again. You can't be born again and look the same, guys. So I say this to everyone out there. If your life looks the same as it did before you said that prayer, wherever it was or whatever age you were, if it looks the same before as it did after, let's confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Let's believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead tonight. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. Are you tired of wasting your vapor? Are you tired of wasting your vapor? Are you tired of walking around with a heavy life? Do you want to lay your head down on your pillow at night and sleep easy? And wake up with a smile on your face saying, thank you, God, for another day. You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You must. And once you do that, you'll look different. get into your word. Get into prayer. And I know it's, you might be new to prayer. Just start talking to God. God, I don't know what to say. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. I'm supposed to, this guy, this assistant principal told me to be a spiritual leader. I have no idea even what that means. God, show me. Show me your word. Speak to God. He loves you. His spirit is drawing you right now. It wasn't an accident tonight that Kevin made it late. Yeah, he could have, the same outcome could have been. But I believe this opportunity that God gave me tonight was set up before the foundations of the earth were ever designed. And I believe that many of you here and tonight, this has rang true to you. Guys, if you look the same as you did before, let's get this thing done. There's no magical prayer. It's your heart. It's your heart. Cry out to Him. Tell Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him you believe. No man can come to the Father except drawn by the Spirit. You feel it. Tell Him you believe. And if you don't believe, tell Him you want to believe. Man, today is the day of salvation. God, we just thank you so much for this day that you've given us, God. God, I thank you for the opportunity that Brother Kevin gave me tonight to be able to speak your word, Lord, and share my heart and what you've been sharing with me. God, I don't know if what's going on in the church tonight or what's going on out there on the internet. I don't know people's hearts, but you do, God, and I pray for them. I pray that those that have made a decision tonight, Lord, that your Spirit would guide them, that your Spirit would direct them, that you would counsel them and console them, that you would convict them, that you would love them, that you would change lives tonight, that you would change lives 20 years from now if somebody sees this video, that you would change lives for your kingdom. God, I pray for this church. I pray for the people of this community. Lord, that the people of this community are drawn to the truth, where the truth is provided, where the truth that will set their life, set them free from the bondages of this world. The truth that's presented here at this pulpit every twice a week, that they would be drawn here, God. And I know it's not about numbers, God, but I know it's about them hearing the truth and that letting that truth set them free. Lord, they're in bondage here. They're in bondage. Many of them are in bondage to whatever it is. We could sit here and have a list of things that we name, God. But we ask that them be drawn here, Lord, so they can be set free. I pray for our ladies that are opening the house, Lord, for the women. I pray blessings into that vision that you've given them, God. That you meet their needs, that you provide, Lord God, that it be built on your rock and nothing else. Knowing that the only being built on Jesus Christ, it will stand. I pray for those that are sick in our church, God. I pray for Becky, Lord. We pray for every night. We continue to pray for her, Lord God, that you bring healing. You continue to bring healing into her body. I don't know what state she's in right now. I don't know where she's at, God, but I just continue to pray for her and pray for her family that their needs are met, Lord. And I know that Brother Randy, Lord, he was dealing with some stuff, Lord. I pray healing in his body and that you continue to heal him, Lord God. And anyone else that's in the church, I can't think of anyone else right now that's sick, Lord, but anyone else, Lord, I pray for healing in their bodies, Lord God. And God, I pray for the young couples in this church, Lord. I pray for the young couples that their husband would stand up and be a mighty man of God within that family. that they would raise their children in the ways of God and fire those arrows out and make a difference in your kingdom, Lord God. I pray for boldness in those young families, Lord God, that they would stand for the word, stand for your kingdom. Yes. And God, I say that I pray for open doors. I pray for opportunities. I pray for open doors that we get to share your love and share your truth with others, Lord. Divine interventions, Lord God, I pray for. Just as I met the man George on the way to the airport, God, I pray for more opportunities like that. And God, teach us how to say yes. When you give us an opportunity, teach us how to say yes, even though it might hurt our reputation. It might be offensive to others, Lord, but teach us how to say yes, knowing that when we open our mouths, you're going to speak through us. I give you the glory for all things, Lord God. Everything I said tonight, Lord, I give you the glory for, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything I said that does not line up with you, God, I ask it to be removed from their memory. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good job, Brandon.
Thanks.
Good job. Good job. Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you with this. Number one, I ask you, body, how do you listen to the word? How do you receive what is being spoken to you? How you listen is very, very important. Because just because you're here doesn't mean you're tuned in. You got to listen with an intense purpose. See, everything that is being spoken, as he was sitting there speaking, as I'm listening to Brandon speak, I'm digging and I'm asking the Lord, okay, Lord, show that to me. Okay, and I'm praying within myself to the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, okay, show this to me. See, I don't listen. When I listen to any preacher, I don't listen, whether it be a principal, whether it be a preacher. Do you listen with an intense expectation that God is going to speak to you about something that is being spoken? Because if you don't, then you're downplaying God's power to speak to your spirit. We are to listen. The Bible said, teaches us with the fervency. That means to lean in with an expectation. Remember a couple weeks ago, I preached on the word and I can't even remember what the word was, but that is to look into the word with an intense purpose, digging into the word. As he was speaking tonight, there was a couple things that I got as I listened with purpose. Number one, as he was talking about the arrows in Psalms 127. And I was just sitting there thinking, and when I listen to somebody speak, I think, and I'm like, okay, Lord. And as he was sitting there talking, I was starting to think. I said, okay, Lord, I've never seen an arrow be made, but I always see the finished product in the store. I always see the finished product once I get it or once Jacoby gets it, and he likes to go shoot archery. But I never see the intense labor and the accuracy that was put in order to bring the product to me. Come on now, church. See, we forget to think about that. That as we raise our children up and we prepare them to send them into the world, that many, many times somebody looks at them and they see a product that seems to be finished and finely tuned, but they don't see the intense labor, the prayer, the Bible study, the teaching, the laying on of hands, the sitting down and showing them the Word of God. They don't see, just like when somebody's making that arrow and they put it on the lathe, there's a certain way that it's got to be shaped. There's a certain weight that's got to be put on each end. There's feathers that have got to be put on. There is much, much work that goes into the finished product that you get into the store so it'll fly accurately. And that's just like when we raise our children up in order to shoot them into the world. There is much, much work that goes into raising them up so that we can get the maximum velocity, the maximum length out of their life by preparing them with the Word of God. And the work is not seen out there. When you go and buy an arrow, when was the last time you went, I'd like to see the man's hands who shaped this? Number two, he was talking about a telescope. And as he was talking about that telescope, I start thinking, how do you listen to the word? How do you listen to the word? Do you listen with an intent for God to open it up? As I was sitting there, and as he was talking about a telescope, I was sitting there and I was thinking, and he's talking, you know what a telescope does? The only thing it does is brings into view to you what already exists. A telescope, the only thing a telescope does is bring something into view to you that is already there. That telescope don't make a star any bigger. It makes it bigger to you. But it don't make it any bigger. It just brings into view what is already there. You can look up into the sky, and you and I, we can see stars, but we can tell sometimes every once in a while one might be a little brighter than another one. We may be able to see a fallen star. But pretty much when you and I, when we look up into the sky, we all just see a bright dot, don't we? And that's most of the church when they look at God. Very few people, most of the church, when they look at God, all they see is they just see a dot of what he is. They really don't see a big, big difference. But somebody that has went and looked through a telescope and it brings that star into their view, now they see something that not many other people have seen. And that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is a telescope that as we get into it, it brings the God that you and I serve into view. And he's not just a dot in the sky that everybody else sees. This Bible brings into my view a God that already exists. It causes me to see his character, his image, his love, his kindness, his law, his justice. It brings him into view. And as I take that telescope and I tune it, all of a sudden I can start seeing things. And as I take this word of God and I listen with intent and I study with intent and I dig into the word, now as a man speaks, it's bringing into view. He's bringing into view what is being spoken. Even if you get on a telescope, you got to adjust the knobs. Number three, as he was speaking on John chapter 15, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that it lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends." I've never seen this before. I've read this many, many times. I've got it highlighted. He says, "You are my friends." He says, now back. I've never seen this until tonight, Brandon. Don't you sit there and think what you were saying didn't impact, because what you were saying, I'm getting these revelations out of them as you're speaking it. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He says to lay down one's life for his friends. And then Jesus immediately turns around and says, "You're my friends." He says, "You're my friends." Then he throws this word in there. If. He says, "You're my friends, if," which means now being his friend is contingent upon something. Being his friend is contingent upon something. You know what it's contingent upon? The if. He says, "No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he says, "You're my friends if." And then he lays out what the if is. And the if is this: you do whatever I command you. That's the if. See, many, many people think that Jesus is their friend, but they've not followed the if. They're not doing what he's asked us to do. And what Jesus is saying, he says, listen, it's already proven. Jesus already said, listen, I come into this world. Why? To give up my life as an offering. I come into this world to seek and save that which is lost. This is what I come. I come for this purpose, to die. Listen, Jesus is saying, you're not going to have any right to question my love for you, because I'm about to go to that cross. But he says, this is how people know that you're my friend. If, to go back to what Brandon said, the battle that you and I have is against the flesh. I am to die to my ways. I am to die to my wants. I am to die to my desires. I am to die to the things that this man right here wants. Because within my flesh, it wars against the things that the Spirit of God wants. Because the Bible says, for the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the Spirit. But it is my job, because I am a friend of Jesus, if I do whatever he wants, whatever I command, that I am to allow the Spirit to bring, Paul said, I bring this flesh into subjection daily. In other words, Paul even had to battle against the flesh. And the reason that Paul was a friend of God is because he beat that flesh into submission in order to bring it into obedience to what the Word of God said. And you and I are to do the same thing, that we are to bring this flesh into subjection, which means to pummel it, to beat it, to whip it, to beat it, punch it. When you look that word up, it means as a man would take his hands and punch clay in order to shape it into what he wants it to be. That's what we are to do to this flesh. We are to beat it into submission by the Spirit of God. The Spirit never, ever, ever condones the work of the flesh, or is for the work of the flesh. He says, you are my friend if. So he said, listen, ain't no question about Jesus. I'm going to die for you. No greater love than a man lay down his life. No greater love than a man. See, we always take that tie to Jesus. And that's true. You understand what I'm saying, right? Right, Brandon? We always tie that to Jesus. No greater love than a man. Who's the man? Jesus laid down his life for what? For us. But what is he saying here? He said, no greater love. He says, you're my friends if you obey my command. Why? Because our flesh wants to fight against his ways. He says, this is how you, my friend, that you lay down your desires, your wants, your will. See, because Jesus didn't have nothing in him fighting against the will of God. Oh, come on, church. You know what Jesus had in him fighting against? Death, because he's life. See, the life of Christ, now you got to understand this. See, the life of Christ in him was no sin, therefore there was no death in him. See, there's death in you and I, and it fights against life. You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus, what he is telling you and I right here is no greater love than this. He says, I'm going to lay down my life. That's why he told the Father, he said, if this cup can be taken from me, so be it, but not my will, but your will be done. It's not in Jesus' nature to die. It's in his nature to bring to life everything he comes in contact with. That's not his nature. It's not his nature to bring death. It is in his nature to resurrect dead things. What else does he say? Let me go over here. In Romans, as Brandon was talking about this. In Romans 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you know what? Brandon's just preaching out. You know, I've never caught the verse after that until you were speaking on it tonight. I've never caught it this way. Do you know that the verse after this explains this verse? It says, listen, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With what? Not the confession of the mouth. You don't believe with your mouth, you believe with your heart. And you can't believe with a heart unto righteousness unless you've had a heart. Well, let me put it to you this way. Not that it's been touched by Jesus, but an old heart has been ripped out and replaced with a new heart. He said it's with the heart that you believe unto righteousness. And then the natural thing is to speak it with your mouth. See, we get it backwards today. We think that my confession with my mouth changes my heart, when it's actually my heart that changes my confession with my mouth. Amen. Amen. My heart don't change. My mouth is nothing more than a regulator that lets people know what's in my heart. Just like you take a thermostat and you stick it in the water, it lets you know the temperature of the water. You take a thermostat, you stick it in the ice box, it lets you know the temperature of the ice box. You put it in a smoker, it lets you know the temperature of the smoker. My mouth lets you know the condition of my heart. So if I want my mouth to change, my heart's got to change. So, that's what I got out of your message tonight, Brandon. Who made arrows? Who made those arrows? What? Listen, you can go there. You can go to the store. You can buy you some cheap arrows, some dollar arrows. You take them out there and shoot them. They're going to make it from about here to Brandon. I ain't going to kill nothing. Ain't gonna stop nothing. We need to quit raising up dollar generations that ain't gonna stop no attacks. That ain't gonna, come on now, church, amen. That ain't gonna stop no attacks. That's gonna be beat up by the enemy because the labor that we put into them is too cheap. You want to take something out, if you want to take those arrows and you want to be able to take something out, you want to be able to kill what you're shooting at, you want to be able to stop a deer, you want to be able to stop a lion, you want to be able to stop something that's attacking you, you're going to have to spend some money and get something that flies accurate and hits the target. And you and I, if we want to bring our children up in a way that can stop the enemy when it attacks, you're going to have to spend some time in your labor that you sow into your children and teach them how to hit the target of the enemy when he attacks. Telescope. We're raising our kids just to look up into the sky and just see stars, the same stars that everybody else sees. You and I, unsaved or saved, can walk out there and look at the sky and see the same thing. And that's many folk in the church. There is a generic seeing of God, but very few had an opportunity to look through the telescope to really see what's there. Very few get into this to see what's really there. I want to see what's really there. Amen. Good job tonight, Brandon. That's what I got out of this message tonight. Because you know why? When I listen, and I ain't trying to pat myself on the back, I listen with intent. I listen looking for a purpose, looking for, okay, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to me? What is he saying to me? What is he saying to you? What's he saying to you about your arrows? What's he saying to you about your telescope? Is our telescope focused on everybody else, or is it focused on God? Because you know what, Brandon, when you look through a telescope, I've never been able to see two stars at one time. Amen. I've never been able to see three or four stars at one time. If I really want to see a star, I got to get focused in on that one. Too many times a day, we're too busy looking at everything else instead of just getting focused in on God. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the word that has went forth tonight. Father God, I thank you, Lord, out of this word for the revelation that you've brought into my heart and the understanding that you've brought into my own heart. That, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity for me to be here tonight and hear this word. For Father God, you've shown me within my own heart how important it is, Lord, to put the time and the quality effort into our children. So as they step out into this world, Father God, that they are the arrows and they'll shoot further than we've ever went. But Father God, how important is us to put the quality effort and the time to make sure that the feathers are in the right place and the counterweights are in the right place in order, Father, so that they have full stopping capability whenever the enemy attacks. Lord God, I thank you for the telescope. That, Father God, that we can look into your word through the Spirit of God. And that this word, and when the Spirit of God opens up the eyes of our understanding, that which already exists is brought into a clear focus and we have an understanding of who you are. For Lord God, we cannot get away from you. We cannot hide from you. David himself said that if he was to make his bed in hell, that you would be there with him. Father God, you said that we are your friends if we do what you tell us to do. Lord God, give us a desire to serve you and to honor you. Give us a desire to obey you. Let obedience to you be our number one rule, our number one factor in life. Because within that, every other thing flows. You even said in your word that we are your friends if we obey you. You said in your word that if we believe in our heart unto righteousness. Oh, Lord God, start purging our hearts, Lord. Start removing that which is not pleasing unto you. Show us the things in our life, Father God, that need to be uprooted and torn down. And show us the areas in our life, Lord, where you want to rebuild. Lord God, we thank you that you've given us eyes to see. We give you praise and we give you glory. We believe that you hear what is being spoken tonight because we know that you sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession on our behalf. It pleases you, Lord, when we come to you not only in prayer, but in faith, believing that you're going to do what we've asked you to be done according to your will. For it's impossible to please you without faith. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for doing what we've asked according to your will. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all. Brandon, excellent job tonight. Y'all give Brandon a big round, and y'all give the Lord a big round. Amen. See y'all Sunday, and bring somebody with you on Sunday to church. God bless y'all.